All right? We have leaders. We're in mutual subjection to one another. It's a mark of a spiritual person, is that you live in subject to one another. Okay? But it says, submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And then the exhortation is, let them do it without grief. But bottom line, that's the verse he's talking to. It's what doesn't keep us awake, but it's what we realize we're going to do. It's why we don't ever measure our success by how many folks attend services. Because God's not going to say to us, well, go. Way to go, guys. This many people podcast. Way to go, guys. This many people come to your training day. He's just going to say, way to go, guys. You cared for my people by creating a system and using the system that is biblical, not a watermark way, the biblical way to create shepherds who care for one another. We're a kingdom of priests. And so we ask ourselves, how are we doing at raising up godly leaders? I'm going to meet tomorrow. There's a number of pastors that are flying in from across the country to spend 24 hours with me. And we're going to talk about different things. And one of the things I guarantee I'm going to hear is, man, we've got a problem with leadership development in our church. Which is code for, our church is not a biblical church. Leadership development is what the church does. It's called discipleship. And so we are most passionate about that. That's why we want to talk about it. But Bo, let's give them a broader leadership update. That's the next thing that we wanted to make sure we did with our time with you.
Sure. This was one that we planned to address ahead of time, and we definitely had a lot of questions about it. And I think when people ask what's going on with leadership, they're asking one of three questions. One is, how are we doing this with three elders? The second thing is, how are you overseeing other campuses, in Plano and Fort Worth? And then the third one is, when are you going to add another elder? So I'll try to give a brief update on those three. So how we do it with three elders is no different in a church with 8,000 members than we would do it with 10 or 12 elders, which is relying upon community to be shepherding one another. Our span of care is limited at, 15, 20 people if we really invest the time. Because we require every member of our church to be in a community group, we are trusting that we're able to shepherd one another by everybody in a community group shepherding one another and knowing there's one person that you could call that could widen the circle and include others in the leadership of this church as necessary. It's the same model you see in Exodus 18. We don't want the line waiting. There's nothing that the three of us can do that we don't have a number of leaders in our body that are capable of helping you with.
Yeah, so I'll just jump in with you. I mean, so God didn't think Moses was the solution for Israel. Moses had a specific role with Israel in the Exodus. But God's plan for Israel was never that Moses would be the guy that would show up or that in every tent. Or that as Israel grew, that there would all of a sudden be more and more Moseses, okay? In the sense that they would all share the title that Moses shared. But what God's program always was that there would be leaders of 1,000, leaders of 500, leaders of 100, leaders of 50, leaders of 10. And we, in Exodus 18, it talks about that. So we have just tried to reproduce that to where what we're doing is just saying, hey, if those leaders of 10 need help, here's the leader of 100 that they go to. And if those leaders of 100 need help, okay, here's the leader of 1,000 they can go to. And then if they need to, they can meet with the elders of Israel. But if everybody meets with Moses, or if you have enough Moseses for 2 million people, one of the things that happens when you have so much leadership is nobody's really leading. And so that just wasn't God's model. It was, from the very beginning, it was really Moses and Aaron, and then a little Miriam mixed in, along with the leaders of the 12 tribes, and then the larger leaders underneath them. It's the exact same model you see in the New Testament. The very first day the church started, we know in Acts, there was thousands that were added. And he didn't say, oh my gosh, we've underestimated the number of disciples we should have had gotten this thing started with Jesus. All right? And so so that answers the first question, how do three do it? Yep. What's the second one you had?
The second one is just, how are we shepherding effectively other campuses? And I'll go back to the community thing, which is if community groups are healthier in Fort Worth than they are in Dallas, then I am shepherding Fort Worth more effectively than I'm shepherding Dallas. That's a big piece of it. The other thing is lifting up leaders, staff leaders and lay leaders on each campus. And so a construct we have, and you don't hear about it as much in Dallas, is the whole idea of having a campus pastor on each campus, which is JP here and Kyle Kegler in Plano and Tyler Briggs in Fort Worth. And then we have campus shepherds, which are lay leaders that are meeting with a continuity or a rhythm that we're meeting with together, but on the campuses that are thought partners and leaders on each of our campuses. And so they're doing that, and then we're spending time with the campus pastors and the campus shepherds. So a couple of ways we're spending time with them. We pulled them all together for 24 hours away last month just for mutual encouragement and reminding one another of our roles. And then last week we had the Fort Worth team came. We pray each Friday together, and so they jumped in with us. And this Friday, the Plano team is going to be meeting with us and continuing to do that. In addition, when the elders meet on Mondays, we have JP as well as Greg Crooks that you'll meet in a couple of minutes join us to make sure that we have continuity throughout the week with the things we're discussing. And then JP, Greg, and Todd meet with other campus pastors on Tuesdays to spend time going through these things as well. So there's a lot of touch points in all of that. And if we ever add another campus, and we'll talk about what we're thinking on that during the FAQs, we would rely on it the same way.
And I know you wanted to mention the fact that, like, we recently just got away with those guys that are the lay leaders along with the campus pastors. We just spent a couple of days with them as we got them away for an extended time to pray, see from their perspective on that specific campus what their challenges are. We had other lay leaders from Dallas join JP. We had the lay leaders join us from Fort Worth with the campus shepherd there. And then also the Fort Worth guys specifically drive over now, you know, about once a month, every 5 weeks, and we spend a Friday with them in prayer. So that's the way we collectively spend time with that campus. I meet with the campus pastor of Fort Worth every week, and we talk about the challenges that they're facing and the ways that we can best serve them.
Absolutely. And then the last one is, when are you going to add another elder? Is another way people are asking the question. And so, you know, I wrote down a very specific statement, which is when the three of us are convinced that we have identified someone completely qualified, then we will add another elder. And the tricky part of this is completely qualified, where we don't want to be hasty. We want to pray, be thoughtful, and get this right. As Todd mentioned 18 years ago, when he said, you know, the greatest day in our church, or the beginning of the end, is if you choose leadership poorly, you create major problems. And so we are not going to be hasty on this. And so we start with 1 Timothy and Titus and looking at the qualifications of the elders. And then in addition to that, we look at what's the rhythm of how we're meeting and making sure that we don't become a board. And so trying to understand availability. And so the availability, as Todd mentioned, you know, we could be spending 20 or 30 hours a week on the role of elder, where the sort of the scheduled rhythm of the time is going to be about 10 hours a week during the workday to be able to be together, to make sure we're home with our families at night on a regular basis. And so we want to make sure that when we ask somebody to do that, that they do have the availability. So we're praying about that. We're spending time with individual people, having discussions about each aspect of the qualification of an elder. And if we were fully convinced that we had somebody that addressed all that today, we would move today. And you could pray for us that that we would get clarity, and that we would be no faster than God would have us be, but also be no slower. Another thing I'll note on that is, Todd asked, whenever we talked about Kyle rolling out of the office of elder, said, if you have any names of people that you think we should consider, please tell us. And there were probably a dozen names that were sent to us, and I'm grateful that we knew every one of them. We had considered almost every one of them specifically for the role, and have been praying on specifically if they meet not only the qualifications, but the availability of being an elder.
So I'm going to add a couple of things, because it almost sounds like, hey, wait a minute, guys, you tell me in this church that has 8,000 members, about 20,000 people that attend, okay? You don't have a guy, like another gentleman, as the scripture would require, that can serve as elder. I thought Todd said earlier, a sign of a healthy church is a lack of leadership development. Right? That's a tell on you. So let me answer that question for you, okay? There are three major things that we look for, all right? Bo already mentioned them. And one is the biblical qualifications, the character issues in 1 Timothy 1, 1 Timothy 3, and Titus. We have, I think, hundreds, if not thousands of men that meet those. All right? The second thing is that they embody our core values. In other words, if you didn't know what our core values were, and it's a good test, if I had to ask you guys to write down what are the core values that God says ought to mark His church, if you don't know what they are, you ought to, okay? Because we talk about those in the membership class, and it's good to remind yourself of. And what I would say is, if you hung out with Bo and Dean, and you didn't know what our core values were, and I asked you after several weeks, hey, what are these guys most passionate about? What marks their lives? I think you would say right away, well, these guys, they're committed to God's word. It is clear that that is their authority and their conscience and their guide. These guys believe Jesus is a big deal. They are fully devoted to Him. These guys are gracious. They're authentic. They don't put on airs. They talk about their struggles and they talk about what their needs are and how God's meeting that through community. They're committed to life together. These guys love lost people. These are men of prayer. These are individuals that aren't in a rut and guarding a tradition or forms that they like, but they're committed to innovation and relevance. You might not say it all these ways, but what I'm doing right now is I'm giving our core values. These are men that believe they should steward their gifts. Now watch this, for the local church. Dean and Bo have divested themselves of pretty much every other, well, they have opportunities to lead in a lot of different areas, and they just go, no, because this is where I lead. This is the ministry, right? I'm not right now serving on a Young Life board, or I'm not doing this over here with FCA, or I'm not involved with this mission organization. I won't do anything that's going to affect my ability to be all in with this mission. And then here's the last one, okay? So those two things check. And by the way, I think we have a lot of individuals at our church that are core value people, that are 1 Timothy 3 people, okay? But that third one is that margin, okay? Because we don't want just people that we meet with once a month. These guys, every week, during the work week, have to have that flexibility. We have talked about creating a stipend for individual to maybe, like as an example, like what if a person has an hourly job? Does that forbid them from being an elder? And we said, no, I think what we would consider is, do we need to come back? And if that person can't be at their hourly job, do we pay them their hourly wage so they can do the things they need to do so they can be as an elder? So it's not just that for guys that have a flexibility that a partner level individual in a firm could do. And so we've looked at that. Because we don't want financial reasons to be the reasons that certain people can't serve in this role. And then I will say this. Here, and then the last thing, and we're unapologetic about this, is the same reason when we go to hire people. Then we have all those guys also do what has kind of famously been labeled 30. These are on my website. They're Words from Wags. As I post them, that's kind of a Words from Wags. It's just a holding place that I have online so that when folks say, hey, where's that illustration used on Sunday? I post it there so anybody can have access to it. Or we've talked in the past about questions that we ask every leader that we want them to be fluent in theologically and doctrinally and social engagement. And so it's kind of like, hey, we want a position paper from you on these 30 major areas before you lead other people. We want to know where you stand on those. And so these got to be men that are not just able to teach God's word doctrinally in a way that doesn't violate scripture, but men that are thorough and expert in areas that we think are culturally appropriate as well as theologically necessary. And so I think the last thing I'd say on that is once those guys go through all of that, the last one, we have character and we have competency. But then the third one is that chemistry issue as well, is will we work well together given all the time that we spend together? And so we spend a lot of time with individuals to evaluate that.
I think this is so important. One of the things that if it takes a negative path, you can go, oh, it's TikTok game locked. Okay, we want to make sure you understand that's not the case.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that for me individually, every time I hear that list, I go, oh, yikes, that is a weighty responsibility. And I want you to know I take that on with fear and trembling every day, as should you, as we walk to be salt and light in this world. But I want you to know this. The stewardship of life of Kyle Thompson, of Scott Coy, of Brett Johnston, created a very high bar. These are men that love this mission exceedingly well. And so we take the responsibility of handing that off. If we all go down in a plane crash, we want to make sure you're well cared for. That's all this is about. And so, we will add elders. It's going to happen. And pray for us as we seek to do that in a God-honoring way.
And when we do, we will right away, because do we need to add more? Yeah. There's never been a time in the history of our body that we haven't asked ourselves, should we add another individual to this team? We're always doing that. That's why we were so encouraged. There wasn't a single name that was submitted that we hadn't spent time with and vetted. And some of them just say, hey, that's just not the call of my life. Or this isn't the time. Or I've got work to do before that makes sense. But it was a chance for us to encourage them. Okay? And talk to them. And continue to move forward. The other thing you see about your elders is that they're not flaunting it over you. Your elders are servant leaders. This is not a position that guys have so they have some vested power. These are servant leaders that are meeting regularly to say, how can we do a better job of caring for God's people? That's the role. So there is no perk or privilege. There is accountability before Christ. But keep the names coming. Stay in prayer for us. I will tell you, the reason that we've never had a failure amongst our elder team in terms of unity or morality is because I know there are a number of you that stay in fervent prayer for the leadership of this church. And I'm begging that you keep doing it.